is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
What up, dope?
We get a people. What they want. The people got what they wanted last night in the game between the Hornets and the Bucks. It came down to the closing seconds. Where it is LaMelo Ball hitting this three to tie the game. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo gets the big bucket and the finish and the win. Jalen, what do you think of this great game between two Eastern Conference powerhouses?
You see Melo out there, not from here, rare breed, out there getting clutch buckets. You know what I'm saying? I see you. But in all honesty, the Bucks are ascending. And early in the year, the Bulls and the Wizards and those teams got off to really good starts. And the Bucks dealt with some injuries. And Giannis is now finding his dominant footing consistently. I think he leads the team, Jacoby, and this is laughable. In points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. Okay, like that's a real thing. And so when he's out there getting 40 and flirting with a triple-double and playing dominant on their home floor, it's a welcome sight. But you know what else? Besides watching LaMelo Ball do work and Giannis be dominant, you know what just warmed my heart yesterday?
I know exactly what you're about to say, Mr. Rose. I know exactly what you're about to say.
It's only one word. It's a one-word answer.
Give it to
Boogie!
Me.
You saw 7 points in his return.
Yep.
Brooke Lopez is going to be dealing with injuries for the foreseeable future. It was great to see our guy, my guy, JRLA supporter, Boogie, back getting buckets.
It was good to see Boogie. Boogie will have a role because, as you mentioned, Lopez is going to be out for a while. But, Jalen, we always say there's no such thing as moral victories, but I don't believe that. Huge win for the Hornets. Going toe-to-toe with the champions last night. The Hornets are an up-and-coming team. The Bucks are established. LaMelo hitting that shot, scoring 36 against the Bucks on the road. That was a big game for the Hornets, even in a loss, because they can look at the top of the Eastern Conference and say, we belong. We're not a play-in team. We're a playoff team that needs to be dealt with.
True story. And if you're them, you're working to be in that 6-7-8 conversation, because if you really look at the bottom part of the East, it is going to be a crapshoot with a lot of teams. A squad like Indiana never gets discussed, but they're firmly going to find a way to be into the mix. I mentioned Washington, the Chicago Bulls, but if you're the Hornets, you should feel confident because LaMelo's been balling, Rozier's having a terrific season. So yeah, that should be the expectation.
Well, two teams that have not performed up to expectations faced off last night. That is Philadelphia and the Celtics. And Ime Udoka had something really interesting to say about this particular matchup over the years. Here is what he said, quote, talking about the Celtics. They talked about it before realizing I was going to Philadelphia and made some jokes like, you know, we got mind control over Philly. And Philly said the same thing when I was there. Well, regardless of who's got mind control over who, like Debo, they faced off yesterday, and it was the Celtics who got the better of the Sixers in this low-scoring affair. What do you think about this game in Boston?
I think my brother Ime, friend of the show, my former teammate, his better half is Nia Long. So it's only right that he knows about mind control and Debo. How many times you think, like us, he's seen that movie? Like, everybody else has watched the movie. He gets a chance to actually be with her on a day-to-day basis. In all honesty, these were two teams, Jacoby, that were like ascending to be in pole position the next few years about who was going to win the East and alternate. And then all of a sudden, the Raptors go and win the championship and add Kawhi. The Raptors win the championship. The Heat win the East. The Nets add a big three. The Bucks win the championship. And both of these teams are like soul searching right now. And yep. So for the Celtics, I bet when they were in their locker room last night, they said, if we're going to win, this is how it has to be. Playing defense, in particular against a big dominant guy like Joel Embiid can be. Jason Tatum was terrific offensively scoring the ball. He also had a career high in rebounds. They played terrific on-ball D, help side D. They contested the Sixers. And Tatum, when he's efficient as the go-to guy, it just looks a lot different offensively. Now, defensively, if you could put the clamps and boxes and elbows on Joel Embiid like they did and frustrate him to, I believe, his worst field goal percentage shooting game of the season, it has me looking at Philadelphia's future, and I'm like, Ben Simmons, sabotage tactic for the Sixers is working.
It's working.
They're not getting no closer. They're getting further away. Joel just missed a ton of games with COVID, nothing he could control. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that mix of Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers and Elton Brand and like how this collection is going to be basically together and is considered some of the best at what they do, how they now fix this Ben Simmons trade narrative so they can actually have somebody in uniform being productive on the floor.
This Sixers team was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference last year, and they look nothing like that now. And again, you mentioned Embiid did deal with COVID. He had a tough bout of COVID, but 3 for 17, three buckets for Joel Embiid against a Celtics team that is not necessarily known for their front court defense. Really interesting game last night, and very low scoring. You don't see a lot of 88-87 games in the Eastern Conference, but let's now turn our attention to the Western Conference, where Luka Doncic and the Mavs scored 139 points on the Pelicans. What do you think about Luka?
Well, it's going to be hit and miss for the Pelicans every night. I mean, they're playing without Zion Williamson. He was only the number one pick in the NBA draft and a guy that averaged 26 on, 60% shooting last year. But Luka was dynamic. He basically had 46 scored or assisted points, I believe, in the first half of this game. And we're always going to look at what Porzingis does because, you know, he's going to be a guy that can catapult them into top four status or lower tier status. But the constants for their team are always Tim Hardaway Jr. and Jalen Brunson. If you really watch their team play, both of those dudes, I know what I'm gonna get every night. I know what I'm gonna get from Luka every night. Porzingis has to be that guy like you talked about coming into this season. Your former unicorn that you spent your hard-earned money going to watch the Knicks play. Y'all, they need him to actually be an all-star level player on a nightly basis.
And he hasn't been on a nightly basis. He had 20 and 10 last night. But Jalen, we talked about the Warriors and the Suns earlier this week because they had that great game in that matchup. But when you look at the Western Conference in totality, there's a lot of room and a lot of opportunity below the Warriors and the Suns. Look at all of these teams bunched up between 3 and 10. Who do you expect to establish themselves in the upper tier with the Suns and the Warriors?
And leave that up there for a hot second because it's way too much to remember. The Suns and Warriors are in pole position to be the best teams in the league. The Utah Jazz are the next tier of team. Just those three. Everybody else, the Grizzlies without Ja Morant, the Lakers having their issues. LeBron is going to be out a couple of games with COVID. No Kawhi for the Clippers. Dame Lillard's going to be out for the Blazers. I talked to you about how much I love the surging Timberwolves, and the Nuggets are without Jamal Murray. So you're right, like Cube said, shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them. In the Western Conference, it's going to
be a
crapshoot.
There's a lot of opportunity for any one of those teams to establish themselves in the top four and host a playoff series, but we don't know if that will happen. LeBron James is out in the health and safety protocol. We cannot say that he has COVID, but it's a very interesting case there. And Mr. Rose, I expect the Lakers to establish themselves in the top tier. I really expect when they get LeBron back, AD, Westbrook, they're going to start putting it together. I still have faith in this team. I have faith. You said that they would win the Western Conference. How do you feel about that now?
I don't like that prediction no more. they flirting around 500, family, and I'm gonna tell you, hey, you start getting below that equator, I'm saying four below is that equator for me in the playoffs, because they file five or below, they ain't winning the West, period. So I don't feel as good about that prediction anymore.
Mr. Rose, I felt really good about the Michigan men's basketball team when they faced off against the Tar Heels, and then I watched the game. Jalen, are you concerned about Michigan men's basketball?
I ain't concerned because it's so very early. And you know I done been to Doha, Qatar. You know you were there. We done been to Buffalo. We done been to versus battles. I done been to Pistons games. You clearly see I ain't worried about Michigan basketball yet because I ain't been to a game yet. We worried about football. You saw what happened on Saturday? All
what
I
happened?
See is Charles Woodson. With the rose in his mouth and Haskins not saying he the best. No, sorry, I lied. He scored 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 touchdowns against the Ohio State. I could substitute the B, but I don't want to lose my job. But you know how I really feel. Hail to the victors. Took care of business, but we focused, dog. We got Iowa this weekend. So we not going to do like little brother. They beat us, they start feeling themselves, they start poking out their chest, and then they get smashed a couple of weeks. We not doing that, we staying focused. So we ain't worried about basketball right now. We all focused solely on Iowa.
Michigan football, the number two team in the nation with a win in Indianapolis this weekend. They will put themselves in the playoffs with a chance to win the championship. I can't believe what I am saying. It would be so like Michigan to lose this game. It would be so like Michigan to lose this game against Iowa. Well, the Michigan Wolverines have established themselves as a team that is favored to go into the playoff, but no one has established themselves as the MVP favorite in the NFL. Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Lamar Jackson? There are a lot of names, but who knows who it will be? We'll break down the MVP race right after this.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Friday night doubleheader on ESPN, starting in the Eastern Conference with the 76ers traveling to Atlanta to take on the Hawks at 7:30, and then at 10 p.m. in the nightcap. It is the Battle of Los Angeles, where the Clippers take on the Lakers in downtown Los Angeles. It is all preceded by NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Coming to you live from the Seaport here in New York City and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, this has been a very
MVP.
Interesting NFL season.
MVP.
I have never seen it get this late into the season without a true front runner for the MVP in the NFL. When you look at the odds, it's very perplexing because Tom Brady is the favorite, followed by Josh Allen, who lost to the Jaguars, and then Rodgers and Mahomes. Jalen, who do you think will win the MVP this year?
Well, it looks like a quarterback definitely is going to win it. Jonathan Taylor had a huge 5-touchdown game with the Colts. No Derrick Henry in the run game this year. Devontae Adams plays with Aaron Rodgers. Debo Samuels, San Fran is ascending, but I have to say Aaron Rodgers is the choice here. And by the way, it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to play with his injury or if he decides to get surgery, but he would be my choice and my front runner right now.
Well, there's also some other considerations. Lamar Jackson is someone who could take the Ravens on a little winning streak and get himself into the conversation. We didn't see him in the top four in the odds. Lamar can obviously put up numbers with both his running ability and passing ability. Do you think that he should be considered as a potential MVP?
When I saw the odds, that's the first thing that stood out to me is that where's Lamar? Because if people can still play for this award and it's wide open, that means he can have 150 yards rushing, 300 yard passing, a couple of 4-touchdown games. Like, he can still do that. So If I was going to pick someone today, I would pick Aaron Rodgers. Based on those odds, if I had to bet on somebody, it would be Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I think the best bet would be a simple question. Where my homies? Patrick Mahomes.
Where my homies?
The Chiefs have the defense got much better as we got later into the season. We've seen them get better later in the season. I think the Chiefs are going to go on a run and be, I don't know, number two, number three seed in the AFC. My money would be on Mahomes, but just don't tell my people in Buffalo, okay? Do not tell my people in Buffalo that.
Hold on. Hit the brakes for a second. Did I just see you say my homie? Like, do you understand how mafioso lifestyles work? Like, you joined the Bills Mafia. They indoctrinated you. You flew to Buffalo, spent the night, shared a room with me like we were high school kids playing AAU. You jumped off of a cooler onto a table. You spent quality time with West Side Gunn, Armani Caesar, Benny the Butcher, Conway the Machine brought you in to his suite. And they lost to the Chiefs last year in the playoffs, and you got the nerve to turn your back on the Mafia and pick Patrick Mahomes? Now, I'm disgusted with you right now.
First of all, I did not jump onto a table. I jumped through a table. There's a big difference. And I'm picking Patrick Mahomes as the NFL MVP. That doesn't mean the Bills aren't winning the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean that the Bills aren't winning the Super Bowl. The Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. I do back the Bills. I just don't think that Josh Allen will be the MVP this season.
Simple as that. I thought that was your quarterback.
We have a Thursday night game tonight between the Saints and the Cowboys. And do you remember Taysom Hill's contract? When you look at the details, it is absolutely baffling. I don't know who they were bidding against to get Taysom Hill, but he's going to get $40 million over the next 4 years if he remains in his current role. Could be worth up to $95 million. If he becomes the starting quarterback over the next 4 years, he will be the starting quarterback tonight. Can they get a win over the Cowboys?
How about this for a sentence? I believe, and when they have research for this, that he's gonna go down as the highest paid special teams quarterback of all time.
I think he's the only special teams quarterback
of all time. For him, right? I ain't mad at him, he can ball. He's physical, he can catch, he can run. Like, he's prototypical in a lot of ways of what we see certain quarterbacks that run a lot of wildcat and that type thing. But going against this Dallas Cowboys defense and Parsons and Diggs, the way he's been getting picks this year, because we're gonna talk about the Cowboys offense a lot, and rightfully so,
yep,
but like,
yep,
their defense to me is what's been a game changer. And so I can't wait to see Taysom Hill go against that defense of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you mentioned Parsons and, of course, Diggs. And this defense has been coming together. But they are also going to get CeeDee Lamb back, Cooper back. I think this is a big win on Thursday night for the Cowboys a week after a very disappointing Thanksgiving loss to the Raiders. Jalen, don't look now, but the Cleveland Cavaliers are kind of good. They played the Heat. Now, the Heat were without Bam and Butler, but the Cavs look pretty good, don't they?
I like the Cavs and what they're building. And today, when I have the remote in my hand, right, and I'm looking at Mobley up front and Jared Allen up front, how they contest everything, block every other shot, and more importantly, they're like twin towers down low. And Sexton, obviously, when their team is healthy, and Garland are young bulls that can score the ball. As I started to watch Philadelphia when I flipped the channel, I want to ask you, because I was like, today, the Cavs are feeling much better about their future, and I'm included in that, than the Sixers. How do you feel?
I would much rather be in the position that the Cleveland Cavaliers are in than the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not saying the Cavs would beat the Sixers in a game tonight, but 2023, 2024, the Cavs are going to be in a better position in the Eastern Conference. Mr. Rose, your Pistons take on the hottest team in the NBA. Can the Pistons get a win? I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say no right now. It's not gonna happen. It's V Week at ESPN, and our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. The Suns take their 17-game win streak and face off against the Pistons. Will the Pistons be the team that snaps the streak?
You saw Cade get 26 last game. You saw Isaiah Beef Stewart have a double-double, was out there physical in the paint. Why not? I was in Phoenix when Ben Wallace was at the draft and secured us the number one pick with his good luck. So it's only right. Detroit is the squad without Devin Booker to snap the Suns' streak.
There's absolutely no chance that the Pistons win, but there's a 100% chance that tomorrow we will have a very special episode of Jalen and Jacoby. Our 10-year anniversary show is tomorrow on ESPN2 at 4 p.m. Don't miss that. We have a very special episode tomorrow. ESPN2.
What they want.
4 p.m. Make sure you tune in. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen, we've been doing the show for 10 years. 10 years, a full decade, and tomorrow will be a celebration, a full celebration of this decade of Jalen and Jacoby.
Good times. Come on.
In true Jalen and Jacoby fashion, we completely made up the date. Like, it's probably been like 10 years and 2 months. It's probably been like 10 years and 3 months. We completely fabricated the date. But whatever, the 10-year anniversary show is tomorrow. And we want to speak to our podcast listeners, because our podcast listeners are the ones that really, really understand the ethos that is Jalen and Jacoby. What message do you have for the podcast listeners in advance of tomorrow's 10-year anniversary show?
Forever grateful. Thank you for the podcast audience, because you guys were with us from the embryo stage as technology started to change. And so from doing things on Periscope to then YouTube, and always having the base of audio that propelled us to radio as a 2-hour show, then propelled that 2-hour radio show for us to have the infrastructure to make it into a 30-minute TV show that was on ESPN News at night and multiple re-airs overnight. And then became a show on ESPN2, whether it was 4 to 4:20, whether it was 2 o'clock, we were happy to be on, and rightfully so. And then we graduated to ESPN in April of 2020 during the pandemic. And the reason why that was so very important to me is because, respectfully, anybody could talk about a box score or anybody could do analysis work. But when sports isn't happening, you have to actually be entertaining to the public. And I appreciate it. There was a period of time in the industry where content creation was really scarce. And I appreciate the fact that we were turnkey enough to be a show that can travel and do live shows, be on news, be on ESPN2, and be on ESPN and look and sound the exact same. See, we didn't have to adjust to the climate. I didn't need to see George Floyd murdered by the police to have a picture of Harriet Tubman up. Didn't need for that to happen. I didn't need Colin Kaepernick to take a knee for me to put a picture of the Ali Summit up. And so those were things that happened while we were a show, not the other way around. And the backgrounds also play a key in this because they tell a story about what we represent in a lot of ways and who we are. But none of that happens without the podcast audience. That's why we made sure, regardless of what was happening, wherever we was doing shows, we always and will always make sure we feed our podcast audience. And it's the big crowns of the world that's been with us since day one and calling in. And a lot of people that I see that was like, I was listening to y'all when I was in middle school or high school, but now I'm in college. Now I'm in my 20s. Now I'm in my 30s. Now I got kids. And so I just appreciate that decade because so many things happen and change and evolve. But yet and still, we've stood solid. And I'm forever grateful to the audience. And I'm forever grateful to you because of a couple of more things. The first 4 or 5 years, we did not have guests. When people build shows now, they 100% talk about who they're going to have on the show.
Yep.
We did the opposite, and that went against the grain in a lot of ways. Please believe me. And the other thing that I'm proud of, before I allow you to do the same thing, is no days off. When you come to Jalen and Jacoby, you see Jalen and Jacoby. I love Mina Kimes, but she ain't had to fill in for me. And I appreciate our consistency, our professionalism, us being fortunate enough to wanting to not only do a show, but to do one every single day. And to the staff that's worked on the show, television, audio, and Reg the Ledge, who's the Jam Master J to our Run DMC, the Spinderella to our Salt and Pepper. None of this happens without them. None of this happens without Reg the Ledge. And we're gonna keep doing what we do.
Obviously, the podcast audience means the most to us. That's how we started as a podcast. And the people that listen to the podcast are the ones that know more about our lives than the people that are closest to us because they're with us every single day. And I also am very proud of some of the work that we've done that has nothing to do with sports. You know, there was curfews and riots and a whole racial reckoning in our country. And we had to get up and do a show every day. And it's not easy to discuss these kind of things, but I thought that I'm most proud of some of the work that we've done that has nothing to do with LeBron James or the Dallas Cowboys or anything like that. It's just about being a human being during these times and having the podcast audience with us for as long as we've had. I'm just really proud of the work that we've put behind us and what we're about to do moving forward. Mr. Rose, one of the things that we always do is we include our audience in our show. So you can be on the show. You're listening to the show right now. You can be on our show. Call 985-80-JALEN. You can leave us a voicemail. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. So you call 985-80-JALEN. You can be on the show just like this.
What up, Jalen and Jacoby? Long time listener, ever since the Grantland days, first time caller. All right, so I got a soft move, a boss move. I think it's a little bit of both, but just got finished listening to one of the older podcasts, and I heard the story about Jacoby and his wife first date to the pizza place and how they ran out on the bill. So I got a soft move, a boss move. I love doing mildly delinquent stuff with my wife. It feels like a bonding experience. I feel like it brings us closer. I'm not gonna disclose my name. I don't wanna incriminate myself or her. Before I forget, shout out to Reg. But is it a soft move or boss move? Doing mildly delinquent, slightly illegal stuff with your mate. Like I said, for a team building, a bonding experience.
I love this caller so much, Jalen. I love this caller so much. He didn't even give his name. He said, I love this term, mildly delinquent. Doing anything mildly delinquent. He called it a team building exercise. This is my guy. This is my spirit animal. That might have been me. I might have left that voicemail. I think I might have left that voicemail. That might have been me. That might have been me. It's always a boss move doing something mildly delinquent, slightly illegal with your spouse as a team building exercise. Boss move.
Definitely a boss move. That's why if you ever get in trouble, you and your mate get something they call what? Immunity, right? Because that bond should be something that what's spoken is going to always represent the other one's best interest ultimately. One that shouldn't be broken. That covenant that you take, that you stand before and you ask and you hear those vows and you say, you know what, this is a ride or die situation. This is a Jack and Jill situation. This is a Bonnie and Clyde situation. This is a ride or die. And every now and then it's like, you know what, how much money you got? Oh, you don't have your credit card? All right, you know what? Just park the car right there. You know what I'm saying? You can park in a handicap, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? We only going in there really quick. You know what I'm saying?
I love this. Mildly delinquent. You know, I just love mildly delinquent.
You right? know what? It's all right.
Mildly delinquent is my favorite new term. Everything I do moving forward is going to be mildly delinquent. We will be back tomorrow with a very, very special episode of Jalen and Jacoby 10-year anniversary show tomorrow. 10-year celebration all through next week. We'll be back tomorrow. Why's that, Jalen Rose?
And I know people like to paraphrase things I say, but I must say the E is for entertainment and ESPN, and I don't park in handicapped spaces. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.